Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Very good. Very good. It's always great to have communion and fellowship together. And usually, I had to watch myself this morning because usually we have a video or something before I come up here and speak. So I had to make sure, I had to look up at Mandy and see if it was ready to go this morning. So if you could take out your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd appreciate that. And inside of your bulletins is an insert with the message outline to follow along this morning. Last week, we talked about Christ in the workplace, that God wants to be exalted in every place and every area of your life, that not just one special day is unto the Lord, but every day is unto the Lord, and every place we go is unto the Lord, is what God wants. Today, we want to talk about God's call to all of us to be ministers of Christ inside the church, and personally, we want to make it into Crossroads. That if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that God has called you to be ministers for Christ. And what that means, minister, is to serve one another. To be a servant of Jesus Christ. That you are to become the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to others is what God has called you to do. You've been called to be that and to carry forth the message here in the local church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what Paul is sharing is about his ministry and the way that he ministers, the way that he serves. This morning, I want to share this message, but I want to give some practical application for each one of us. Before we get started in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, we need to begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. So let's begin reading together. Hopefully you have your Bibles and follow along as I read. Paul says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, he says that you have been set free for the glory of God. And now that you've been set free for the glory of God, you are being transformed into Christ's likeness. That God is transforming you to be like Jesus. And therefore, since you know that, he starts off, therefore, since you know that, in these next two verses, he gives us how to apply it to our lives. Therefore, since we know that, I came up in these two verses, kind of jumped out at me, five thoughts about being ministers of Jesus Christ that Paul kind of gives us. And the first one is in the first, beginning of the first verse, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. So the first thought about me ministers for Christ, that God has given you this ministry. And Paul acknowledged that the ministries he was involved in were given to him by God. Paul didn't select it. They were given to him by God. And the ministries were a gift that God gave to Paul. Instead of God's wrath in which Paul deserved. He deserved God's wrath, but instead God gave him these ministries to serve. And that's what he had. See, before Paul's conversion in Jesus Christ, Paul was bent out to grab all the Christians he could find to put them in prison. He was set out to destroy the entire church. That's what Paul wanted to do, to destroy it. And despite Paul's anger and hatred toward the church and toward Christians, God showed Paul mercy. On Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, a bright light was shown, and Paul heard Jesus' voice. And at that moment, the mercy of God came down, and Paul put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And now, instead of God's wrath, Paul was to be a minister for Jesus Christ. He was to be a servant of Christ. And you and I, at one time, were enemies of God, and you too had your Acts chapter 9, just like Paul did at one time in your life, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you too have been seeing the mercy of God in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ, and now you are called to be a minister for Christ. And this ministry here at Crossroads Community Church has been given to you and I by God. It's God's gift to you and I. Well, what kind of ministry has God given to us? What kind of ministry do we have here? Well, it tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul kind of describes the ministry, and we get a glimpse of it, and it says it's like this. It is a glorious ministry that God has given you, a glorious ministry that gives people life, a glorious ministry that brings salvation, a glorious ministry where people can experience righteousness in their life, a glorious ministry that he's talking about, that transformation of lives happen inside of this ministry. That's the kind of ministry that God has given you here in the local church. Not any ministry, but he said, I've given you a glorious ministry. And we come to understand that this ministry is a gift, that you received it from God. And that's each one of our calling. That's each one of our responsibility. That's what we're to be a part of. Be a part of seeing people's lives transformed for the glory of God. That's what God has called us to do. To be involved in seeing each other's lives transformed. To be involved in each other's life, interacting, relating to each other, and ministering to one another, what he's called us to do. See, the way you look at your ministry helps to determine how you will kind of fulfill it. If you kind of look at your ministry and see it as a burden instead of a privilege, it will affect your ministry. It will affect in how you will serve God. If you look at ministry as a burden, and you say, man, I've got to do this, and it's like it's a requirement that God has required me to do this, then the whole time that you do your ministry, you'll complain every step of the way in doing it. And you will receive no joy out of it. It's, oh, here it comes again. Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Oh, here comes Sunday morning. I got to serve. And you would drudge it. You will not like it because you look at ministry as a burden. If you could look at ministry as a privilege, which it is a privilege for you to serve, then you serve with your whole heart. And you want to give above and beyond in what you're doing. And you're looking for ways to improve your ministry. No one has to ask you to show up. You want to be there. You look forward to it through the week. And you have great joy in serving the Lord and seeing people's lives change. And you see your own life being affected by what you are doing. And you're excited about it. And God has invited each and every one of you here to serve in the local church, to be involved in what he is doing. And when you're serving in the church, you're doing God's work. Because this is God's ministry, the church, and he wants you to serve. So when you're serving in the church, you're doing God's ministry. And if you call Crossroads Community Church your home, it is your responsibility to make sure the ministries here are functioning well. It's not anyone's outside there. It's your responsibility. Those who say, Crossroads is my church, it's your responsibility to be involved in those ministries to make sure they're functioning well and they have all the volunteers they need to reach their potential. That's what God wants you to do. And God has blessed each and every one of you with spiritual gifts and talents, and he wants you to use those to minister, to serve Christ, to build up the body is what he's called you to do with those gifts. And your gifts that he's given you is to help Crossroads, the local church, to reach their potential. And today we have a ministry fair, and it's no coincidence I'm sharing this message today. They don't want to remind you, right after the service, we have a ministry fair, and it's going to give you all an opportunity to meet the ministry leaders and talk to them about their ministries and find out what ministry to get plugged into. If you're not involved in a ministry, see, ministry will change your life. It changed your life. And right after service, we want to give you an opportunity to take that next step and change your life by serving Jesus Christ and being part of his work and what he's doing. The second thought about being ministers is found in the second part of verse 1. Paul says, do not lose heart. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now, Paul says we are to serve, but we're not to lose heart. Ministry is tough. And if you've been involved in ministry for any extended period of time, you know it can be kind of a grind, and it can be difficulties come along the way. But what was Paul really talking about in this passage? What about losing heart? The first thing that Paul was talking about, losing the drive for ministry, that we get so, lose our focus, lose our motivation. He says you kind of lose the drive to serve. You kind of lose the reason that God brought you, wants you to be in part of a church, is to serve and be a part of what is going on inside of the local church. And many times, because we lose it, we lose the passion for others. We lose the passion for the lost and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just kind of lose it. We become complacent. You just kind of lose these things. And many times, we lose the love for other people. No longer we desire to see others grow, and no longer we interested in making sure every person is growing inside the church and that I'm growing, and we lose that tenacity for Jesus. Lose that enthusiasm for Jesus. And Paul is saying, don't lose heart. Remember the ministry that God has called you to. I just shared that a couple minutes ago. It is a glorious ministry. Nothing like on the outside is like this ministry inside the church. This is God's institution which he created. This is where he says people come to hear the truth. This is where they come to have life, eternal life. This is where people's eternity is changed forever. Transformation of lives that God says, this ministry I have given you is from God. And this ministry I've given to you is so important. And more important than anything else you would do because it changes people's eternal destiny. And Paul's saying, you have this glorious ministry that is so important for you to understand what you have. Do not lose heart. Make sure you're involved in what God is doing. Well, what's some of the other things that he's talking about that may be losing heart? One of the things is people not believing in Jesus or trusting Jesus when you share it with them. See, Paul's heart was toward his people, the Jews. And anytime Paul went in a little town or a little village, Paul would, first place he would go to is the synagogue. He would go into the synagogue to share Jesus with his people, the Jews. But over the time, most of those people would reject Paul. They would make fun of Paul. And it burdened Paul's heart, and he would get discouraged. And Paul was reminding himself, do not lose heart just because they're rejecting you. Continue to serve. And maybe you've been here at Crossroads, or maybe you've been inviting people to come to church, or maybe you've been sharing Jesus with people and they continue to reject you. They continue to reject the message. And people, if you have invited to come to church, whether you've been here for a long time or a short time, you invite them to come to church and every week they promise to be here, but every week it goes by and they don't show up. And they tell you again, I'm going to be here, and every week goes by, they don't show up. Another time, they're going to be here, but they don't show up. And it causes many times for us to get discouraged. And Paul is telling you, do not lose heart. Don't stop inviting. Don't stop sharing about Jesus. But continue to invite. Continue to share with others about Christ. Do not lose heart and don't give up is what Paul is saying. Another thing that can cause you to lose heart are trials and difficulties in life, which leads to discouragement. Paul confessed to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 8, that his trials in Asia almost brought him to despair in life, almost brought him to the point, he says, that I thought I was going to lose my life. There's such great discouragement in his life. What are you saying? See, when you're doing God's work, you would think that God would allow everything in your life to go great. That as you start serving, that God would kind of part the Red Sea for you, and it would be the parting of all things, and no longer would have any trials, I wouldn't have any conflict, and I'm just going to serve, and everything's going to be so great, and I'm going to share the message, and everybody's just going to accept it, no rejection, and everything's going to be great as I'm serving. You would think that's the way it would be, but it's kind of the opposite is true, isn't it? As we start serving God, it seems like, man, something else comes up in my life and something else happens and I have this distraction and it seems like I'm being attacked over here and this is going on and this is going on. See, the enemy is trying to distract you from doing God's work. He's trying to distract you from serving. So if you're looking to say, you know, sometimes we go, I don't feel so right. And you can take it. The enemy is trying to distract you. See, the enemy wants you to lose heart. The enemy wants you to give up. And he's constantly trying to get you and I distracted from doing God's work. Because when you're doing God's work, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And they realize inside of the church, transformation of lives can happen there. So he wants you to stop. The enemy will attack you. He will want you to give up. He will want to distract you. That's why during this times, you need to really stay focused on Jesus and persevere. I remember many years ago, that I was involved in Awana ministry, and I've shared that with you before. When I first got saved, I became a listener in Awana and learned many verses, and I was involved in Awana for over 20 years or so in Awana ministry. Started some in that, but I remember there was times before I got in what we call paid staff in the church. I was a volunteer, and I got up and had to be at work at 6 o'clock. I had to be at work at 6, so I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning, drive to work, sometimes work 8, 10 more hours, get home 5:30. Awana would start at 6:30. I would have to get cleaned up, put on the little uniform and go. But many times I would come home, man, I'm tired. I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go there. And I came up with all kinds of excuses why I shouldn't go tonight. But it always come down, I made a commitment. And because I made that commitment, I'm going to go there at Awana at night. I can tell you, any time that I persevered through that and I thought about not going and I went, something remarkable happened that night. Some child came to faith. We've seen some other person make a transformation in life. Or God did something in my life during that night. See, I believe sometimes the enemy knows something's going to happen during that night. He knows something's going to, and what he tries to do is distract us. Says, I don't want you to be there. So he tries to give us all kinds of things to come into my life, the reasons why I should not go. And you and I need to persevere and stay focused. Say, I made a commitment. I'm going to be there. Because if I'm not there, I'm going to miss out on something. Because something must going to happen tonight that I must be there, or whatever ministry you're serving in. You need to be there and make that commitment. God wants you to be there. Don't listen to the enemy. He will distract you. He will cause you to give up. But you need to persevere. Remember, doing God's work will always require a sacrifice. It's always going to take part of your time to do ministry. You can't think, well, I'm going to do ministry, not sacrifice, not give up something. And studying the Word of God and prayer are absolutely necessities in serving God. You can't say, well, I'm going to go serve God, but I don't have time to spend time with you. They don't go together. It is impossible to stay focused and accomplish what God wants you to do without studying the Word of God and prayer. They're absolute necessities to have that. How are you going to give out any spiritual truth or give anything out if you're not close with God? How do you expect God to work in your life if you're not walking right with Him? So it's this produces us serving Him. So it requires us to spend time with God and in prayer so we can be effective what God has called us to do. Another obstacle that can cause you to lose heart is afraid to fail. Now, we've just done a whole series on failure, but it is something that causes us not to want to serve. It creates a major obstacle in people's life is failure. They're so afraid to fail in life. We think, what if I fail? What if I don't do this ministry right? See, failure can paralyze you and keep you from doing God's work. Failure can cause you to quit in life and just quit. I won't serve anymore. Paul experienced that too. Paul came to the point to think, man, what am I doing this for? Because every time I turn around, they're beating me. They're putting me in prison. I've been shipwrecked. Every time I'm trying to do something, something happens to me. Is this what I should be doing? And Paul experienced those things in his life, but he persevered and he did not give up. And he didn't allow the failure in ministry to get in his way. And I'm sure Paul asked this question. You need to ask yourself this question. Would God have entrusted this ministry that you're in right now if he thought that you might fail? Would God entrust that ministry to you? No. God would not entrust it to you. God calls you to do something that you will succeed. He will enable you to be successful. He will give you all that you need to succeed. You just have to trust him. Here's the thing, though. Doesn't mean you won't have problems. Doesn't mean you won't have obstacles. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes along the way. Doesn't mean it's going to be a party in the Red Sea and everything's going to go great. I'm not saying that. But through those obstacles, through those mistakes, through those failures, you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to learn a lot of things, and you're going to learn how to do the ministry. And because of all those obstacles and all those mistakes and all that learning process, you're going to be better at what you're doing, and therefore your ministry is going to be stronger because of it. And what Paul is saying, we need to persevere and don't lose heart and continue serving God. For those of you that are here, if you've never taken that next step here at Crossroads, I would invite you to take that next step and consider serving here at Crossroads. Consider being part of one of our Sunday morning ministries or another ministry that we have here. Continue doing that, and right after the service, we want to give you that opportunity to do that. The third thought about being ministers is seek purity, Paul is saying in verse 2. He says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Any time that you are serving, you are to seek and be pure in all that you do. God wants us to be pure. This means that it starts with your life. Are you living the way that God wants you to live is what's important. Now, I'm asking you, have you sinned? Because if I'm going to ask that, every one of us hands would have to be high. You know, how many times we've all sinned. What I'm asking you is this question. Are you doing something in your life right now that you know you should not be doing? Is there something you're thinking about, your motives, your attitude? And you know what it is. The Holy Spirit will convict you right now. Are you doing something in your life? Say, boy, I should not be doing it. God will convict you right now. If there's something there, and you know if there is, confess it right now and get right with God. All you got to do is confess. Say, God, you know, I've messed up. I've sinned. Confess it and get right with God. And say, God, allow me to live the life you called me to live so I can be effective in my ministry, the purity of life. See, when we serve in the local church, when we're serving, it really eliminates many things in our life. Because as we start serving, that sacrifice of that time, now we're focused on what God is doing. and it's spending time thinking about what God is doing, my actions are doing what God is doing, it's taking me away from something that I probably shouldn't be doing. So it helps me to live the pure life. And when I'm not serving, when I'm not doing that, an idle mind, an idle heart, an idle body, idle can really cause me to do things that maybe I should not be involved with and should not be doing. That's why it's so important that you and I would seek to serve Christ inside of the church. That's what he wants us to do, to seek God and serve him with a pure heart. And part of serving is being an example for others to follow. That's part of it, that you're an example for others to look up to. Not you're perfect, but you have to be an example. The Greek word for deceive or trick literally means to walk in the ways that are capable of anything. And Paul was rejecting here all the shameful and underhanded methods. Paul, what were you saying here? That includes all the methods and motives that go along with this. He said, I'm rejecting all those. That you are to walk in integrity. And people are to trust you in everything you say and everything you do. And if you're not walking in integrity, why would they trust what you have to share? Why would they have to trust you in serving? Why would they trust you if you're not a person of integrity? That everything we do as we serve is to be genuine and authentic is what he's saying in this passage of scripture. What you share with others, and as you're serving them, it should take effect in your own life. They should see the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. What I'm sharing is this. You have to practice what you're teaching. You have to practice what you're sharing. You have to practice what you preach. They're not going to listen just to your words, but they're looking at you as you're sharing, as you're ministering to others. Has it taken effect in your own life? Has Jesus changed your life at all? Not that you're perfect, but they see a transformation taking place in your life. Let me give you an example. You can't tell your children, don't steal, if they see you stealing. Now, let me take that back. Well, I don't steal, but do you take paper clips, you take things from work, the little things, and bring them back? Hey, where'd you get that? I got that from work. You can't tell your children don't steal if they see you stealing. You can't tell your children don't lie if they see you lying. If you don't want your children to lie, they have to see it in your life. See, they're not going to practice what you say. They're going to practice your life and what they see in mom and dad's life. And the people you serve, they're going to see what's in your life. That's what they're listening to. Has it taken root and effect in your life? And Paul says, seek purity in all you do. The fourth thought about being ministers, and this one's really important, what Paul is getting across in this passage, is to teach the word of God. And just listen to what he's talking about here. Paul says, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly. You maybe say this, that what if I serve, people might ask me questions. What am I going to say? How am I going to answer them? How do I answer people? Because serving in ministry is a big responsibility. It really is. Being in ministry is a big responsibility. What am I going to do? Well, keep it simple. Long time ago when I got in ministry, many times the guy that kind of mentored me, we used to use this method called the KISS method. Now, you might know what it stands for. We used to call it keep it super simple. And that's what you want to do in ministry. Just keep it super simple. Don't make it more complicated than it has to be. When someone asks you a question, just share the word of God. Don't try to, I got to come up with my opinion. I got to come. Share the word of God. Share the truth plainly to all. Doesn't mean that you can't get deep in the word of God, but you're sharing it in ways that all can understand it and can apply it to your life, was what Paul is saying. See, when teaching or sharing the word of God, you need to trust God with the word. Not say that I got to share it in a way that to get people to make a step. No, you to trust God with his word. In Isaiah 55:11, listen what God says about his word. He says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I've sent it. God says, whenever his word goes out, it always accomplishes its purpose. It always does. Over the many years in ministry, I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of people. I've had a lot of opportunity to counsel many, many people, and they come in with their problems, whatever they may be, marriage problems, just personal problems, whatever it may be. And they come and they kind of ask questions. I look in my mind is, what am I going to share with them? I mean, what if I'm going to share my opinions and my philosophy, they will fall flat. They're going to go empty. They're not going to be able to really grab hold of those things. What I always come down to as I'm listening to them, I'll usually try to find a principle and relate it from the word of God in some way. And sometimes it's just to relate to another character, to something going on in their life. Maybe relate it to Daniel or to Joseph or maybe Matthew or maybe Doubting Thomas or maybe Peter's life, or maybe I'll just share about how great and wonderful Jesus is. But I'm telling you, any time that I've shared the word of God, it always accomplished its purpose. I could sit there and I can share my philosophy and my opinions, and they're kind of look at me, you know, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. As soon as I share the Word of God always hits them right where they're at. It's always guaranteed. Why? Because God is behind it, and he says that. My words can fall empty all the time. My philosophy can fall empty. When we're sharing his word, it's so powerful. That's why we need to trust God with his word. It will do its job. It will convict people. It's not your job to convince people to believe. It's not your job to do that. Or your job to share the word of God in a way it's going to cause people to bring them to conviction. That's not your job. That is God's responsibility to bring people to conviction of sin. That is God's responsibility to have people believe in the gospel message. That's his responsibility. Your responsibility is to share it and to be faithful in sharing the truths of God's word. That's what God has called you to do. Just share it. Share it. Leave all the others up to God. He will do it. You don't have to round off the sharp edges of the Word of God and say, well, this is too sharp. You don't have to round it off, or you don't have to make the Bible say what it doesn't say. I've got to add to this because they don't quite understand. No, just let the Word of God stand there. Just share the truth of God's Word is what Paul is saying. Just share the truth. Do not distort the Word of God in any way. Don't do it. Don't add from it. Don't take away because that's distorting it. The Greek word for distort was commonly used for tampering with merchandise in order to make it more profitable. And some of the merchants of the first century would cheat, and they would kind of cut corners by diluting the wine or changing the accuracy of the scales is what they did. And some of the false teachers right now at Corinth were kind of, you know, diluting God's word by not sharing the total truth or adding to the word of God for their own selfish purposes, for their own selfish motives, for their own selfish benefit is what they were doing. And Paul is saying, don't water down the message. Don't water it down. You don't have to. You don't have to say, well, I can't mention Jesus or I can't mention this. Just give it straight. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul in his 13 books? Well, I'm going to try to share with you about God without Jesus. Can you imagine him trying to do that? You don't have to water it down. You're to give it straight. Give the message straight to people. And sometimes instead of straightforward presentations of the truth of the gospel, they use tricks to kind of captivate the audience. In doing so, they were deceiving and twisting God's word. And the reason they were doing it, because they did not trust that this word of God was able to accomplish its purpose. So they thought they had to come up with their own little things to do and tricks and deception and all kind of things they had to do with the word of God because this wasn't enough. And Paul is saying, this is all you need. The word of God is sufficient. It is enough to bring conviction, to change people's lives. All those little tricks and deceptions don't change people's lives. They don't change. This is what transforms lives. And that's what Paul is saying in this passage. If someone asks you a question about the Bible, what you have to do is just many times just share what God's word shares. And allow it to be sharp. And sometimes God allows the word of God to be sharp. And it brings about conviction. They need to hear it sharp. And they need to hit it where it's like convicting them and really hurting them right now. Where it comes to that point. Don't try to soften the blow. And sometimes God will bring the word of God and it will be gentle. And come to them and bring them to the point to encourage them. To build them up. Here's the point. God knows what people need at the right time. And you and I may be in that circumstance, say, well, I know them. I know what they need. And I've been around them. I've listened to them. No, you don't really know them. You only know what they've told you. You can only see so far. God sees inside their hearts and minds and knows exactly what people need, exactly what message they need. And many times we hold off from sharing the word of God. I'm going to share what I think and I do. And we miss the point. My words will always fall short. It's God's word that transforms life. Give God an opportunity by just sharing his word and watch what it does. I've been in many situations where I've just opened up the door of sharing out a little piece of God's word, and you'd be surprised what God can do with it. All of a sudden they're asking, really? And they're asking you a question when you didn't even think about it. They're asking you a question about it, and it leads into a conversation. And I've seen people come to faith in Christ. I've heard countless stories of people doing that. But many times we try to share things about ourselves and share, and we miss the point of sharing God's word. Now, I'm not saying you can't share your story, but your story always has to end up with sharing about God and his word. That's what it is. You and I are to be an open disclosure of truth to all. When people ask us, we're given the truth of his word. That's what Paul is saying. Do not distort it. Don't take away. Do not add, but give it plainly and straight to all who ask. That's what we're to give to them. That's what changes people's lives. And maybe you're thinking, I need to learn more about the Bible. So how am I going to do that? In order to be a good teacher, in order to really serve, I need to understand the Word of God so I can really give it out. What am I going to do? Well, that's where our small groups come in. And today we have our small group kickoff. And I want to encourage you right after the service to go in the cafe to learn about our small groups and to sign up about our small groups. Because small groups is a great way for you to meet people, meet new people, a lot of new people in our church. A great way for you to build relationships, but it's a great way to learn the Word of God and be involved, be equipped and trained and be able to serve through that. We would love to see all of you involved in a small group here at Crossroads. That you say, boy, I want to be involved, to build those relationships, to be growing spiritually. And you can do that right after the service. We want to help you take that next step right after the service in the cafe to sign up for a small group. The fifth thought about being ministers that Paul says in the second part of verse 2 is God is watching. He says, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, God is watching. Think about that. That can be a very scary thought. That God is watching everything that I do, everything I say, every thought, every attitude, every motive. God is watching me, and he's watching. We don't serve a God who's far off and seeing you from a distance. No, the Bible gives us every inclination that God is like looking at you real close, real close. And he's looking at you and you and you and looking at every one of us as individuals real close. And he's watching you. And that's what Paul is letting us know, that God is watching you. And it can be very comforting to think that God is watching you. It's your different perspective and where you are in your walk with God. And the perspective that it's very comforting that God is watching me. It means God is guiding me and leading me and helping me. He's going to help me to say the right thing. And if I fall, God's going to be there to pick me up. And it can be very comforting. It's your perspective where you are in your life. But it should be kind of a scary thing, because that's the way Paul was looking at this. See, Paul always had in mind that as I'm sharing the word of God, as I'm serving others, yes, I'm serving them, but ultimately it's before God. Everything I'm doing is before God. God is watching. And God knows your motives. He knows your attitudes. He knows everything that you're doing. And Paul said, you better be serving for the right reasons, because God is watching you. We're doing in the sight of God of what we're doing. And God knows if you come and you're prepared yourself for serving. God knows if you're winging it. God knows if you're coming and saying, God, I'm ready to really serve, but you haven't spent any time through the week with him. He knows that. God is watching. He wants you to serve with the right motives and with the right reasons. And as I said, to serve, it's going to take a sacrifice. And guys, I'm not asking anything. It's not good for all of us to spend time with God. And the right reasons to serve is always to honor God, to glorify God, and for you and I to share with others so others can come to know God. That's why we do it, to honor him, to glorify him, and for others to know God. So we serve with the whole heart. And God wants all of you to be ministers for Jesus Christ. Well, maybe you're here today and you don't know if you know Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You look at me and you say, you know, you talk about having a relationship with God. You talk about that, how would I know if I have a relationship? Well, let me ask you this simple question. If you were to die today, would you say, boy, I know I'm going to be in heaven? If you say, I don't really know that, then you need to listen to what I'm going to say. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. He really wants to have a relationship with you. But you have sinned, and we've all sinned, and because of your sin, it has separated you from God. So God sent his son from heaven to earth so he would take on your sin and my sin and the whole world's sin. And Jesus went to the cross to pay our debt, to pay our payment for our sins. And so now through Jesus Christ, you and I can come to God through Jesus and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, because Jesus paid for our sins up on the cross. And now Jesus bridges the gap between us and God. And all we have to do now is come and say, you know, I know I'm a sinner, but I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And today, right now, I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. If you've never done that, please come and talk to me. I've got to go in the cafe after the worship service, but I'd love to spend some time with you to explain what that's all about. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ. If you do know Christ as your Savior, we want to help you to be ministers for Christ, because that is what God wants you to do. We want to be honest with you. We want to help you take that next step, and that's what we're going to be doing right after the service is all about. The ministry's fair is to help you to serve, and the small groups to help you to grow in fellowship and to grow spiritually. Both of these accomplishes God's will in your life, and we want to help you take that next step. If you have any questions, please come see me. But I hope to see every one of you, in that cafe. Just come through, just for the sake of the ministry leaders. Just encourage them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we praise you, and we thank you so much for all your love that you have for us. That, Lord, that you are so wonderful and awesome of God, that you came and you died on the cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. But, Lord, you did more than that. You just didn't save us, but you placed your Holy Spirit inside of us. You've given us the Word of God to guide us, and you've given each and every one of us spiritual gifts. You've given each and every one of us the ability to serve you with our whole heart. And, Lord, so every one of us have a responsibility now to use what you've given to us for your glory. And I pray, Lord, right now in our hearts and minds this morning that every one of us would ask you to examine our hearts. Lord, am I living for you? And Lord, can I take this next step in serving here at Crossroads Community Church? What can I do? Dear Lord, we would really take this seriously, that you've called us all to be ministers for Christ, to be the hands and feet inside of the church. And Lord, that you would move in our hearts and minds, and many of us would take that next step forward and say, yes, I can serve. Dear Lord, that you would use this day in the cafe, the small groups kickoff and the ministry fair kickoff, to change people's life, and all of us take a next step together and serve together, encouraging and building each other up. Lord, may we worship you and praise you, what you're going to do in our lives today, that Crossroads might become the church that you want it to be, Lord, to be reach its potential of reaching people, making disciples, and reaching others for Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.